The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The following stories are from BlackEnterprise.com. The next article is titled, It Feels Good. Raphael Sadiq announces Tony tour dates. Good news for Raphael Sadiq fans. The famed R&B singer, songwriter, is going on tour and bringing his beloved Tony along for the ride. On Tuesday, June 20th, Sadiq announced the Raphael Sadiq Revisits Tony, the Just Me and You tour. For the first time in 25 years, Sadiq will reunite with Tony and give fans what they want to hear and see. The tour kicks off in Birmingham, Alabama on September 21st at the BJCC Concert Hall and continues through major markets nationwide, including New York City, Chicago, Nashville, and Los Angeles. The tour will wrap up at the Paramount Theater in Oakland, California, Tony's hometown, on November 14th, followed by the Masonic in San Francisco on November 17th. Produced by Live Nation Urban, the tour marks a momentous homecoming for Sadiq, his brother Dwayne Wiggins, and Timothy Christian Riley as they perform as Tony for their R&B fans. The trio is set to perform a number of their smashes like Feels Good, Anniversary, and It Never Rains in Southern California, plus brand new material. Sadiq will also dig further into his crates and perform tracks from his acclaimed solo albums, the singles from his short-lived but beloved R&B supergroup Lucy Pearl, and hits he wrote for artists like D'Angelo, Daniel Caesar, Brent Solange, and Beyoncé. Without those who were with us from day one, where would I be? But the main reason is that my father, Charlie Wiggins, would have wanted it this way to see me, Dwayne, and Tim playing together again. Pre-sale tickets begin Wednesday, June 21st at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Live Nation and Spotify pre-sales following on Thursday, June 22nd at 10 a.m. local time. General on sale goes live Friday, June 23rd at 10 a.m. local time. All tickets may be purchased through RaphaelSadiqMusic.com. Shaq walked away from a $40 million Reebok deal after a mother berated him because his shoes weren't affordable. Shaquille O'Neal is a big guy, measuring over 7 feet and weighing over 300 pounds, grounding his massive frame size 22 feet. The former basketball player had a lucrative deal with Reebok, a cool $40 million for his own line of footwear. But 7 years into the deal, in 1999, he went in a different direction after an encounter with a mother who asked why his sneakers weren't more affordable and accessible to his young fans. According to the Sports Crush, after deciding to walk away from Reebok, Shaq made a deal with Walmart to create Shaq Shoes, an affordable line that sold over 350 million pairs. Fast forward 20 years later to 2019, when the TNT announcer partnered with the footwear company Toms after learning of its business model that for every pair bought, one pair was donated. Shaq spent 2 years searching for the company to get a pair for himself and eventually met its owner, Blake, in Los Angeles. Upon meeting Blake, Shaq asked how he could get a pair of Toms in his size. After explaining to Shaq that Toms didn't make size 22 and it wouldn't make sense to make one pair, Shaq asked how many pairs were made in one production day and then placed an order. He said, "Finally, about 2 years later, I see the owner of Toms. Him and his wife, we meet at Westwood." I said, "Listen, I love your product. How can I get a pair?" He said, "Shaq, to be honest with you, we don't have the 22 molds. I can't slow production down to make one shoe." So I said, "Well, what's a good production day?" And he said, "About 1,000 pairs." So I said, "Make me 1,000 pairs then." So I got 1,000 pairs that I ordered, and I'm only into my first 100. And we're in discussions. We want to go to these third world countries and hand out some shoes. The money Shaq would have made with Reebok doesn't match the generosity he has shown the many people who can now afford his sneakers and those in poorer countries who will receive shoes from him. The next article is titled "NFL Players Association and Black Men Vote Announce Historic Partnership." The National Football League Players Association, NFLPA, and voter engagement organization Black Men Vote, BMV, have announced an historic partnership focused on voter registration and engagement. The new partnership will leverage the historical involvement of NFL players in increasing voter turnout and facilitating a fair discussion of issues that impact communities across America. Founded in 1956, the NFLPA is the union for professional football players in the National Football League, representing more than 2,000 players, the majority of whom are men of color. The NFLPA has been a leading advocate for issues of social justice, human rights, and equality. Black Men Vote is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to inform, educate, and encourage all black men, particularly ages 18 through 35, to vote in local, state, and federal elections. The NFLPA and BMV partnership comes at a critical time in our nation and will help facilitate greater participation in our electoral system by often marginalized communities. Key components will include, but are not limited to, strategic relationships and or partnerships with former and current players, a public awareness campaign highlighting the importance of voting, collaborative voter registration drives, advocacy and policy reform, data analysis and research, and strategic fundraising partnerships. All of these elements are designed to increase voter registration and engagement among black men specifically and the American public in general. Black Men's Vote's mission to empower men of color and to educate them on issues that impact our communities seamlessly aligns with what we stand for as union as well as with the players we represent, said J. Maurice Smith, executive director of the NFLPA. Voting is one of the greatest weapons we have in our ongoing march for justice. Together, I'm excited to see what we will accomplish as we work to make sure that every voice is heard at the polls. The NFLPA is one of the leading and most impactful organizations in our country, not only serving their players, but also large segments of the American public, said Larry Williams Jr., executive director of Black Men Vote. They have been an outspoken voice in support of voting and voter registration, as well as other critical issues such as social justice, mental health awareness, and community action. We are proud to count them as a critical partner in our efforts to register and engage Black men across America in the voting process, and are excited that they have chosen to use their platform in support of this important goal. Under this new partnership, BMV and NFLPA will establish and nurture strategic relationships with former and current players who are interested in supporting voting rights and civic engagement. The initiative will involve collaborating with athletes to amplify messaging, promote voter registration, and encourage civic participation among their fans and followers to advance the cause of voting rights and participation, especially among Black men. The next article is titled, Yusuf Salam of Exonerated 5 Wins New York City Council Race. One of the five teenagers who were exonerated years after they were wrongfully convicted of raping a woman in Central Park is leading a race for New York City Council. Yusuf Salam, one of the exonerated five, won a primary in New York City on Tuesday, June 27th, in a move that could see him representing the 9th District in the City Council, CBS News reported. Unofficial results from the city's Board of Elections showed Salam as the first choice of 50.1% of voters on Wednesday. He beat out Assemblywoman Inez Dickens, who had the support of Mayor Eric Adams and received 25% of votes, and Assemblyman Al Taylor, who received 14.4%. Incumbent Kristen Richardson Jordan had already withdrawn from the race. After votes are finalized, Salam will have prevailed in the primary and ultimately the general election, where he will be representing the 9th district in the City Council, which includes the part of East Harlem where he grew up. This campaign has been about those who have been forgotten. This campaign has been about our Harlem community that has been pushed into the margins of life. The Harlem native celebrated at the Harlem Tavern after his Tuesday night win. Salam was among five teenagers wrongly imprisoned for 7 years in the late 80s, early 90s, after they were charged with raping and robbing a white jogger in a case that received nationwide attention. After it was found out, the teens were innocent and coerced into giving false statements that led to their convictions, they were later all exonerated. Salam went on to become a motivational speaker, touring the world to speak out against criminal and social injustice. His run for city council is the first time he's run for public office, as noted by City and State New York. Now, after beating out Dickens and Taylor, Salam acknowledged his lack of political experience, but promised to be a candidate for change. Salam is now gearing up to claim the Harlem City Council seat held by Christian Richardson Jordan, who dropped her re-election bid. The next article is from Reuters for Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, a self-assured and forceful U.S. Supreme Court debut. In December 2022, during a heated U.S. Supreme Court oral argument involving a collision between free speech protections for business owners and LGBT rights, liberal Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who had joined the bench only about 2 months before, raised the most memorable question of the day. Jackson, the first Black woman to serve on the top U.S. juridical body, suggested to a lawyer for Lori Smith, a Christian web designer from Colorado, seeking a right to refuse to design websites for same-sex marriages, that the case could be a slippery slope. A win for Smith, Jackson said, could allow a professional photographer to exclude Black children from a nostalgic Christmas photo with Santa Claus styled after the 1940s, a time of racial segregation in parts of the United States, because they are trying to capture the feelings of a certain era, Jackson said. After pressing the example, Christian Wagoner, Smith's attorney, responded that there are difficult lines to draw, and that may be an edge case. As the court's current term nears its end, Jackson, appointed by Democratic President Joe Biden last year, has earned a reputation as an assertive presence with a bit of an independent streak, willing to ask tough questions and to decide cases with her fellow liberals or at times with the majority conservatives. According to legal scholar Adam Feldman, who tracks court data, Jackson spoke more during oral arguments than any of the other current justices during their first terms. "She's just showed up from day one," said Terry Maroney, a Vanderbilt Law School professor who studies judicial decision-making and behavior. "She knows what she's doing. She's not shy. She's posing uncomfortable hypotheticals, and she's not afraid to do those things, even if it's causing discomfort." Some of the major cases have yet to be decided, including Smith's case and the fate of race-conscious university student admissions policies that for decades have boosted the number of underrepresented minorities on American campuses, with more rulings expected on Thursday. The addition of Jackson, a former federal trial and appellate court judge, did not change the ideological makeup of the court, whose muscular 6-3 conservative majority has shown a willingness to rapidly change the law. Jackson succeeded fellow liberal justice Stephen Breyer. Last year, rulings powered by the conservative justices ended recognition of a constitutional right to abortion and widened gun rights. This term, they ruled against the Environmental Protection Agency in a case that could leave wide swaths of sensitive wetlands unprotected by a landmark anti-pollution law. The term has also included several rulings that surprised scholars and court watchers, with conservative justices joining the liberals in rejecting race-based challenges to a federal voting rights law that protects minorities and an adoption law governing Native American children. Boston College constitutional law expert Kent Greenfield said Jackson's presence on the bench may have helped shape those rulings, in part by bringing a different life experience to the table. She's a person of heft, a person of high intellect, and she's not being quiet, Greenfield said. She's very self-aware of the role she's playing. Some of her questions during oral arguments have stood out. In one of the cases challenging affirmative action policies in collegiate admissions, Jackson suggested that barring any consideration of race could prevent a student who descends from slaves compared to one who is not from having his family history honored and credited because his story is in many ways bound up with his race and with the race of his ancestors. My sense is she will have a disproportionate amount of influence over her colleagues, especially with the question of race, Greenfield said. Jackson has voted alongside fellow liberal justices Sonia Sotomayor and Alana Kagan in several cases, but also has diverged from them, including in May when she dissented from a decision backing an animal welfare law in California, and last week when she joined a ruling making it easier to deport immigrants convicted of certain crimes. Roman Martinez, a former law clerk for conservative Chief Justice John Roberts, who frequently argues cases at the court, said Jackson's first term has been impressive, calling her very active and extremely prepared. She has also shown an independent streak, willing to break from the more liberal wing of the court and articulate her own views in solo opinions or by teaming up with conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch, Martinez said, as the first former public defender ever to serve on the Supreme Court. Jackson has distinguished herself in her handling of criminal justice matters, authoring at least 7 pro-defendant dissenting opinions this term in argued cases, appeal denials, and emergency applications. She's made her personality and priorities and intellect known very quickly on the bench this year, Maroney said. The next article is titled, H&M Puts More Black Entrepreneurs on the Map with Latest Buy from a Black Woman Partnership. Black women business owners and entrepreneurs will once again get a heavy dose of inspiration from a dynamic partnership. H&M and Buy from a Black Woman will embark on a 5-city Inspire tour to put businesses owned by Black women on the map. According to a statement, the featured cities are Philadelphia, Charlotte, Houston, Los Angeles, and Atlanta. Donna Dozier, head of inclusion and diversity for H&M Region Americas, noted there is a link between successful businesses and thriving communities. H&M is committed to using its platform to promote economic inclusion and spark growth for Black women entrepreneurs because when their businesses flourish, entire communities thrive, she said in a statement. This is the third year the major retailer has partnered with Buy From a Black Woman. The Inspire Tour highlights Black women businesses who are finding, owning, and living out their ambitions, said Nikki Porcher, founder of Buy From a Black Woman. Their stories of triumph over adversity showcase the victories in their communities, which inspires both entrepreneurs and consumers who dare to want more to keep reaching for their dreams. Recent data showed Black women are hurt the most by the country's unemployment rate. However, according to J.P. Morgan Chase, Black women business owners were reported to be the fastest growing group of business owners in the U.S. Some Black women start businesses out of necessity and create their own employment opportunities where none existed previously. High rates of Black female entrepreneurship may also reflect lack of opportunity in the traditional workforce. Many start businesses to survive rather than pursuing market opportunities. Tosh Ernest, head of business growth and entrepreneurship and financial health and wealth creation for Advancing Black Pathways at J.P. Morgan Chase. The Inspire Tour will highlight the experiences of Black women business owners starting July 1, 2023 in Philadelphia. The next article is titled, Billionaire Robert Smith's Private Equity Firm Wins Big After $4.6 Billion Sale to IBM. Billionaire investor Robert F. Smith's private equity firm Vista Equity Partners has sold Aptio in a deal with IBM. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.